Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wild Free Well podcast. Today, as promised, I am here to talk a little bit about an experiment that I was running in my own life. I'm going to ask for a little bit of patience because I took notes throughout the last couple weeks. And so I'm going to have to refer back to them. But basically, what I decided I would do is I would spend a week originally focusing exclusively on self-care. So what I mean by that is I didn't stop working. Nothing that way kind of changed, but I made the decision that I was going to try to do as many things as possible to take care of myself. I made the decision to do this because I mentioned on the podcast last week that I'm in a bit of a transition period, and there's kind of a lot going on in my life, and my client roster is growing and things are getting a little bit busier, which I think is normal because we're really moving into the new year now. We're not, in that, January can be kind of almost like a recovery month from the holidays, and so people are still kind of getting things together. But now as we're moving into spring, and I'm recording this officially in spring, so now that we're moving into that season, the days are getting longer and things are shifting. And so people are starting to get more into that kind of I'm ready to make some changes. I'm ready to make some shift energy. And so I've had more requests from clients and I've been busier that way too, which has been really nice. And a little bit difficult, actually, which I'll talk about a little bit later. There's that kind of came up as part of this whole experiment. But essentially, I decided to do this because I'm in the midst of a transition. I really wanted to see what would happen if I really doubled down on self-care, if I really showed up for myself, and if I really did all the things that were necessary to really, really care for myself. And I think you're going to be really curious. I think you're going to be surprised by what came up. Spoiler alert, it did not go great. it was so good. It was so beneficial and so many good things came out of it, but it really did not go at all how I thought it would. So my intention for this was really to spend as much time as humanly possible doing only things that I loved outside of obviously my regular kind of activities, things like taking care of the house, taking care of Mila, taking care of clients and stuff like that, showing up the way I normally do. And then in my spare time, really dedicating that time to myself. And so what that meant for me and what that looked like was getting rid of social media for this time. And I haven't been posting at all. I've been radio silent on social media and showing up for the things that were necessary. So I recorded a podcast episode last week, but beyond that, I didn't really do a whole lot within my business in the last couple of weeks, besides, like I said, showing up for clients. And then getting rid of the games on my phone and then really doubling down on what self-care is for me. So self-care for me in this week looked like obviously that space, really cutting down on screen time as much as I possibly could. And really doing things to care for my physical body, which I really enjoy. I understand that that's almost cliche self-care, and that's fine, but it's something that brings me a lot of happiness, makes me feel really good, makes me feel really cared for. So I wanted to incorporate a lot of that too. And then some surprising things came up too. So I also started doing more movement, and that has been really, really valuable. But I'll break this down a little bit week by week. So I decided to do this last week. I started officially, I think it was late Saturday or early Sunday morning. Now I don't remember because it was almost 2 weeks ago to when I'm recording this. But I started by deleting social media. So I had nothing on my phone, and that was super. And then this week of self-care kind of coincided with my cycle as well, these last 2 weeks. So there was a little bit of emotional kind of kickback from doing all of these things. I knew that I was craving space and needed space to really process what was going on. And I also knew that I was very much afraid of what would come up in that space. That was one of the things that I was really dealing with at the beginning when I first started this process. So when I decided to do this, No, sorry. After I decided to do this, on Monday, I started like looking at horoscopes and stuff like that just for fun because it's something that I enjoy doing. And like everybody was on board. Like, this is the week to take care of yourself. Like, everything was aligned. Like, it was meant to happen. It was really funny because I was getting a lot of like synchronistic messages after I made the decision that said like, yeah, you really should double down on self-care. I actually should have screenshotted them so I could have shared them because it was so funny. I don't know if I can go back and get them, but I'll see. So yeah, like there was a lot of like, there was a lot of feedback about how this was a really good time to prioritize space and freedom and really getting to know yourself, which was essentially my intentions for the week. And then like while I was meditating, a word that came up for me was, like I said, spaciousness, but that really, on the one hand, I was craving it desperately. And on the other hand, I knew that in the weeks prior, I had been using my phone purposely to avoid that. So I was feeling a little bit wobbly, a little bit emotional, and kind of wondering and questioning, will I be strong enough to kind of deal with whatever presents itself? And that was something that hit hard, like hit really hard on Monday. That was, I think, also because there was like a little bit of PMS in the mix. So I was kind of emotional for other reasons, but like, there was just so much coming up that day. And I really, really tried to be deeply present in my body and to really allow whatever feelings came up to just flow. There was a ton of energy in my chest area. And every time I kind of tried to tap into that energy, not tried to, but every time I tapped into it, I could feel my eyes start to tangle. Like the emotions were literally trying to like burst out of me. So that was really interesting. And I realized too that connecting with my breath was going to be so powerful, really allowing that ebb and flow, like the physical ebb and flow of the breath, to move the emotions through me whenever they presented themselves, and just being super present with whatever was happening with me, whatever was coming up, whatever I was feeling, and allowing myself to feel the things that we often don't allow ourselves to feel. So like, how many times when we are in maybe an inconvenient place or an inconvenient moment, and we have this kind of like ugly emotion, you know, we have an emotion that we don't want to be having, but it's there. And, oh, sorry, like dog hair in my mouth, because that's what it's like living with a border collie. Sorry, little detour there. But how many times do we kind of push it down? Like, no, now I can't feel this emotion. You know, now I can't have a big feeling. I'm on the subway. I'm on the bus. You know, I'm walking to work. I'm at work. I'm in front of other people. Like, I can't have a big emotion. And I felt that a little bit too during this week, because in kind of like allowing myself to feel something, it sort of released the floodgates. And so for the first few days, like I'd say from Monday to Wednesday of last week, in addition to PMSing, obviously that's a factor that we can't eliminate from this discussion. It just happened to be the way that things went. But in addition to that, like just so much emotion coming through me as I'm moving. So I'm walking Mila and I'm like having all of these feelings come up, and like, you know, I can feel that kind of the tingle of emotion in my body again, like this idea of sensations in my chest or tightness in my shoulders, or like my eyes kind of starting to water and stuff like that. There's just so, so much coming up. And one of the questions that really presented itself at the beginning of the week for me was this idea of how can I interact with the world from a healed place? So what does that look like? What does it mean to respond while I'm not charged, while I'm not having all these big emotions, learning to really sit with my emotions and not forcing other people to deal with my shit? And I think that that is a huge aspect of self-responsibility. I talk about that a lot on the podcast and in my work in general. When we are being self-responsible, it means that we are responsible for ourselves, literally. So if we're having a big emotion, it doesn't matter who we think may have caused it or what may have caused it or where or whatever. It doesn't matter, whatever situation it might be. It doesn't matter what we think caused it. We are having this experience and it is our responsibility to deal with it. And so how can I kind of come at the world from this healed place, from a place of deciding like, okay, even if I'm having a big emotion, I'm not going to be an asshole about it. And like, I don't think that I have an answer to that question necessarily. I do think it's a process that is unfolding for me right now, because whenever you're in a period of transition, I'm sure you can relate to this, you have so much going on and your mind is in 7 million places. Like I remember at the end of, like about 2 weeks ago, I was walking my dog and like this guy came with his dog off a leash and it drives me nuts. That's just like a no-go for me when people don't have their dogs on a leash. Because there's always like a reason, I'm sure that's very valid for them, but I really don't care. I just think it's like appropriate that when you're walking your dog in a setting that is not like a field or whatever, you're in like the city, your dog should be on a leash. And this dog comes up and kind of like starts jumping all over Mila and he's really excited and she's not really into it at all. And so I'm worried that she's going to like freak out. And I responded to this guy really not as my best self, let's put it that way. I wasn't really rude and I didn't yell at him, but he was like, can I pet your dog? And I'm like, yeah, you can pet her when you put your dog on your leash. Like, and that's just it. And okay, so I didn't do or say anything particularly bad, but here is the point. I didn't need to respond that way. That was not me responding as my best self. And no matter what I think about this guy not having his dog on a leash, it is not going to change anything. Like, it literally doesn't matter that I think that what he's doing is wrong because he's cool with what he's doing. So he's not going to change because like some crazy lady in the park is like, hey, put your dog on a leash. Do you know what I mean? It was just unnecessary. And it left me feeling like shit. Feeling like shit because the situation in and of itself was negative, and then feeling like crap too because I wasn't really proud of the way that I responded, because a lot of what came out at him, even though it wasn't really rude, it wasn't really that rude, I should say, what came out at him had nothing to do with him. It was just me having all of these other things going on in my life. And then this was like the straw that broke the camel's back and he kind of got the brunt of it. And like, I'm proud too of the fact that what he got wasn't actually that bad, because I think that a version of me from years past would have behaved in a much different way. But it's this idea, like if I was able to be responsible for my emotions, if I'm really letting things flow through, if I'm really being present and taking really good care of myself, maybe I don't respond to that guy at all because I just don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Because I care that his dog is not on a leash, but I also respect that my opinion about his lived experience doesn't matter and it's not going to change anything. So I just let it go. I don't hold on to it and I don't bother responding, right? So moving kind of forward through the week, the first 3 days were kind of bumpy, and I am going to admit I got rid of social media. That's an easy one for me. I do it fairly frequently, but I had such a hard time deleting my games off my phone. I hate saying it. It's like, I find it mortifying. I really do. Like, this for me is like, this is one of my shame things. Like Brené Brown talks about, like, that I keep hidden in the dark. And now I'm bringing it to the light and I'm really proud of myself for that. But yeah, it took me a really long time. So on Thursday, so exactly like five days, I think, 4 or 5 days after I started this, because I started it like late Saturday, early Sunday, I finally worked up the courage to delete the freaking games. And I didn't delete them all. I just deleted the ones that were like really bad. Yeah, that was like especially hard. And it's because like those are such a grade A distraction. Like they are the best distraction. When you don't want to do something, or when you don't want to like for me, I have a hard time. I find television so like so terribly boring lately. Like, and my whole last podcast episode was about that. I'm not talking about it again. One episode of the podcast was enough about that. But I tend to play games while I'm watching TV because I find that TV isn't particularly entertaining. Like, I don't find that I'm engaged enough in what I'm watching to be able to just watch it. I feel like I'm usually watching it and doing something else. And I think a little bit that's a byproduct of the way that we're training our minds to be by the sheer amount of phone use that we have in our lives, how much time we're spending, and the just kind of like the slot machine design of cell phones, I think, is making us all generally, whoa, easy for me to say, a little bit stupider. I really, really, like, across the board, everybody, I think, who uses a phone and who is using a phone for, like, 4 to 5 hours a day, over the long term, we are going to see that as a society, we become dumber. I really do think that's the outcome that we're looking towards. And so I think, and it certainly makes us incapable of focusing, and they're doing studies now on the fact that we obviously are less capable of reading, which I think I mentioned also in the previous podcast. So getting rid of these games was like just really difficult because I felt like no social media, no games. What the hell am I going to do with myself? And that was all also a huge part of why I wanted to do this experiment in the beginning. Because in the weeks up leading up to this, I had felt so terribly bored, which is where the other podcast episode came from too. Like, I was trying to find a show, but I couldn't find anything I liked. There wasn't really anything in my life that was engaging. I was a little bit too tired to be able to like read or do those kinds of things. That wasn't really attracting me at the time. And so I was like, well, if I get rid of these games, I'm going to have such a void in my life. What the hell am I going to do with myself? So the fear kept me in that loop a little bit longer. And once I finally deleted them, I did have a little bit more spaciousness. But I still had such a difficult time sinking into the boredom. And it's so interesting because I talk about this with clients all the time. And I am a huge proponent of like detoxing and like social media detoxing, tech detoxing and stuff like that. And normally I do a decent job of it. But because of the where I'm at in my life and just the timing of when I decided to run this experiment, given that it was so close to my cycle, given that I was going through all these other emotions and in transition, et cetera, it just was like I was not capable of doing the things that I normally do, like reading and stuff like that. And so I felt really like lost without the games, lost without social media, lost because I didn't have enough energy to do what I really wanted to do. And so I think I kind of ended up escaping a little bit more into television. And coupled with the fact that in these days, so Thursday, Friday, and I think maybe Saturday, but mostly Thursday, Friday, I also slept really badly. And all of these things were just making it so I'm distracted and I'm confused and I'm feeling like, what the hell am I doing with myself? And why did I do this experiment in the first place? And yeah, it was a little bit difficult. But I also found that first thing in the morning, this was on Friday, I'm looking at my notes, so bear with me if things are coming out a little bit weird, but on Friday morning, I realized that not having games or social media in the morning, because I haven't had social media for like 5 days at this point, 5 or 6 days, and the games I had been without for a day, not having those in the morning and not immediately jumping onto my phone has created so much space and really left me with a lot more energy and a ton of clarity. Because I'm not distracting myself. So my brain isn't like already thinking about like how to make these moves and how to do these things with the games. And it's not consuming all this content from other people. So there was just space for me to be, which was really positive. In the afternoon is when it got harder for me. At night is when it got harder. Because also another thing that I haven't mentioned is that most of these days I was walking for like an hour and a half with Mila. And that has been amazing. That has been such a game changer, like that space and walking and not running. So there was no strenuous movement. Sorry. I didn't do any strenuous movement basically for this entire experiment. I only walked, but I walked for like longer and I walked in nature, like as nature as it can be, given that I'm still really close to the city, but walked more in nature and it had such a positive effect on me. I felt so much more vital and so much more energetic, especially while I was doing it. I felt really peaceful, really, really balanced and centered. And then afterwards, I felt so tired, like by the time I got home. And I think it's all just to this idea of like, I was in the space of detoxing. I was off of all of these things. Like I'd gotten rid of a lot of my vices and I'm upping my movement and all of these things. So I'm adding so much more into my life. And so but I'm also releasing a ton of things. And so I'm really tired. So I get to the weekend and I feel like I've learned a lot, but I didn't really dive as deeply into what I wanted as I had hoped because of the situation with the games and taking so long to delete them. So I decided to extend the experiment by another week. And it went really well. I still kept walking, really upped my self-care. I was doing a lot of like face stuff and body stuff, like dry brushing and gua sha and red light therapy. I've been doing a lot of the things that I really enjoy and that bring me a lot of happiness. And then I was really taking care of myself as well because at the start of the week, I was also that was when my cycle had officially started. And so I had to really be mindful of like my energy levels and just kind of doing what I could with what I had available, energetically speaking. And then this week was insanely busy with work. Like, it's just so funny because when you decide to do stuff like this, sometimes like you get presented challenges and it's kind of about how you show up to them. And so it's been really exciting to be so busy this week. This week, much more so than even the week previous. I think I had four extra client sessions this week than I did the week before, which is crazy, but wonderful. But it's just really interesting too, because you make this decision, okay, I'm going to focus on myself and I'm going to do this. And then these situations present themselves and they're like, oh yeah, are you actually going to do it? Like, even when things come up, are you still going to stick to and do what you say you're going to do? And I did. I kept walking. I still kept up the self-care. I still stayed off social media, although I was allowing myself to check it a little bit more this week. But it was nothing obsessive. And that was really, really wonderful. And I'm just going to check now. But I think, too, that my overall like phone usage went down as well. So last week, it was down 10%, which is really nice. No, wait, hang on. Last week or this week? Now I don't know what I'm looking at. But I'm just really proud of myself for that, for getting it, for lowering it. My goal is to be down around 2 to 3 hours per day, because it's definitely higher than that right now. But the problem is that I use my phone for meditating. It's obviously something, it's a tool that I use for work. I use it when I run. And so there's a lot of different ways that I use my phone where that it's actually in a really positive way, but it still counts as usage. So if I spend half an hour to an hour meditating per day, it counts as an hour of phone usage, even though the phone is not being used actively, it's being used passively. So they're still counting that. So in any case, I'm really proud of the fact that I did manage to get it down 10%, and I want to continue seeing how low I can get it, especially as I reintegrate things, because it's all well and good to do this experiment, but real life must go on. So eventually I'm going to have to download social media again, because I can't continue not posting. Like, that's a part of how I run my business and how I connect with new people. So it's not feasible to ignore it all the time. So what happens when I reintegrate it? Will my hours go back up? Like, will my screen time go back up? Or can I manage to keep it like under control and really only use it in a sort of positive way? It's going to be interesting. It is definitely something that I struggle with when I have it. I have no problems deleting it, but when it's there, it's difficult to not like press the button somehow. And this is coming from somebody who has really done a lot of tech hacking. I'm a big, big, big fan of tech hacking. So like I've made my phone work for me and not making it me a prisoner to it. And I'm still to a certain extent a prisoner to it. I can't imagine what it's like if people don't actually go through the trouble of making their phone their own and they kind of just leave it at the factory default. Like what that impact must be. I can't even fathom what that is like. My phone has been like a tool for a long time and it's still something that I struggle with. So for other people, I just can't even imagine. Anyways, the biggest takeaway though, for me, if I had to sum up this entire experiment, the biggest and clearest takeaway is by far, feel it and it will pass. It's really simple. It sounds almost like bullshit, but it is the number one thing that I learned over the last 2 weeks. So anytime something came up, and I mean anything, whether I was angry or I was sad or I was frustrated or I was confused or I felt overwhelmed, whatever it was, I just allowed myself to be with it and I did not force myself to do something about it. So if I was tired, I was tired and I was just tired. I didn't force myself to read. I didn't force myself to work. I didn't force myself to make progress somehow, right? If I was sad, I wasn't trying to move through the sadness. I was just trying to be with the sadness and just identify where it was in my body and really connect with it. And as soon as I did that, in 90% of the cases, it dissipated or shifted, at least in some way, lessened perhaps. So like, it was really interesting. Like I let myself be upset. I let myself feel hurt. I let myself cry if I needed to cry. Whatever wanted to come up, I just let it move through me. And that goes back to what I said too about the physical movement. I think the physical movement was a huge catalyst for this, because I didn't say this earlier and I'm reading my notes now, but I really tried to walk 5K. That's what I normally run when I run with Mila. But I tried to walk the same amount pretty much every day. I didn't do it every day, but I tried to get as many kilometers in as possible. And I think my average for last week was something like 6 or 7K per day. So I'm really proud of that, actually. And it felt so good because like spring is here and it's beautiful out and I was in nature. Like it felt so good to do that. But I think that that made a huge difference because that time was literally just for me. So I was not on my phone. I was not listening to podcasts. I was not listening to music. I was walking with Mila, connecting with her, connecting with nature, connecting with myself. And for the first time in maybe ever in my life, really not thinking about anything or certainly not controlling my thoughts. Like I was just letting everything flow. I wasn't really fixating on what came up. I was just moving. And I think that that really gave... It really gave space to the energetic and the emotional movement that was happening within me over the last couple of weeks. So I do think, if I'm honest, that overall, despite the bumps, because I think there were quite a few bumps, I think there were a lot of bumps actually over this last week and a half or week and a half or two, because I'm still in the midst of doing it, but I'm recording this because the podcast comes out tomorrow. So I think that there have been a lot of bumps, but I think that overall, the time investment that I made in myself this week, deciding to walk as often as possible, which is something I'm definitely going to continue doing, and even the amount of self-care, like the amount of like doing gua sha and dry brushing is a regular part of my routine, so that's not really anything special, but doing all of these things, and even some extra stretching at night, doing some extra yoga before bed and stuff like that, I think that all of the things that I did, I don't actually have any intention of getting rid of. So I don't even know if the experiment is really coming to an end. I think it's about integrating things back into my life. So reintegrating social media. And actually with the games, I don't think I will reintegrate them. Not now, at least. I think there will come a moment where I will... God, I hate saying this, but where I will need them again. Because sometimes when things get too much... I tend to like go in that direction, and also sometimes to like mostly in the winter, because in the summer I'm busy doing other things, and I'm typically reading a lot more in the summer than I do necessarily in the winter. But I think that the time will come where I will need the games again, or I will want them again, and I will download them. But for now, I have no intention of doing that. So the only thing I'll be reintegrating is social media. But I think that everything that I did this week and everything that I learned and making sure to take the time to go for a walk and to be really present in that moment. And I never even mentioned this, but I actually did some rest practices as well during this week. Not as often as I could have. And I think that that's something I would like to up over time, because I think that too, that now my schedule is getting busier and busier, and that rest is going to be paramount to my mental well-being and being able to keep up with the pace that I have right now in terms of the number of clients that I'm working with. So I think that there's a lot of things that I still want to integrate, but I'm not going to let anything go. Like this experiment, it really did shift something for me. If the only thing that we're looking at is my mental well-being, it shifted so many emotions. I moved through so much gunk over the last 2 weeks. It is insane. It is nuts. I just let everything that I was feeling flow out of me. Whatever came up and it went. And it was that simple. And I just didn't really do anything beyond that. I journaled because that's a regular part of my routine, but I wasn't following any kind of structured program. I wasn't using like a book to guide me through this period. Like I just was going with the flow basically in every sense. And it was really, really powerful. So if you've listened this far, you might be thinking, what the hell was the point of this episode? Like, why are you telling me this? I think that there is value in looking at, there's always value in this, not I think. There is value in looking at what you really need. So can you take a second and be honest with yourself about what you really need in your life right now? So if I look back over the last, we're going on almost a month of my life. Okay, because it was about 2 weeks before I started the experiment, and I'm coming up towards the end of the second 2 weeks now of being in this kind of self-care experiment, okay? So if I look at the last month of my life, the first 2 weeks were an absolute shit show. Just like I said, I was in transition, not in a great space necessarily, not feeling wonderful and just having a lot of emotions. There's a lot coming up because it's normal. I'm in the middle of a transition. That's the way things go, right? You know, you've got all these thoughts and you've got all these emotions and it's totally fine and it's totally normal. And it just is. It's not good or bad. It's just, it is what it is. It was that way for me, at least. So in deciding to do this, I think that I really gave myself space to process everything that was coming up in those 2 weeks prior. And that is just like, I didn't even really think about that until I, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, yeah, wow, I really did. So like, it's been a month of just moving through my own crap and like being really self-responsible and really showing up for myself. And like, I can feel the difference now. I feel lighter. I definitely feel lighter. So how you can use this is asking yourself what you need. You may not need like a self-care week. You may need a self-care day. You may not need self-care at all. You might need extreme movement for a time being. You may need to like literally just release whatever is coming through you. And maybe you do that by boxing or you do that by running or hiking or whatever. I have no clue what you need. You know what you need, right? Because you are sovereign, as I always say, and you are an intelligent individual. You know what you need. So really asking yourself whatever it is that you need and then, okay, wait for it, actually giving yourself that thing. Can you imagine? So you're not just having like this fancy conversation like, wouldn't it be nice if? You're actually saying, wouldn't it be nice if? And then you fucking do the thing. And I know that that sounds like harsh. I'm being kind of like purposely triggering right now because I want you to get it. Like it's such bullshit to just sit there and have a conversation with yourself. Don't waste your own damn time. Like you're worth more than that. Don't just have a conversation with yourself about what you need. Have a conversation about what you need and then actually go out and fucking do it and give it to yourself and show up for yourself and be your own champion and be your own hero because you are capable of changing your life, which is actually, I think, going to be one of my next topics for my podcast because I had a call with a client this week who was talking to me about how she doesn't believe that people can actually fundamentally change. And I do instead believe that people can fundamentally change. So I think it'd be interesting to do a podcast about that. But the point is that if you want something to be different, you need to do something differently, period. You need to do something differently. Action, not think about something differently. Although also because your mindset needs to change. And not even being somebody different, but also because if you do that, that also helps with the transition. But the more that you are actively doing something, like taking action and showing up, the quicker things will change, right? Nothing changes if nothing changes. It's just math. It's really that simple. And so if you had the opportunity to do something like what I did, if you could treat your life, your existence, like an experiment, what experiment would you want to run? And it can be anything. Maybe it's like, oh, I want to try to post every day to on social media to grow my business. Or I want to try to exercise or move my body every single day for the next week. So, and obviously we are not talking about extremes. If you've never moved your body a day in your life, you are not going to go to the gym 7 days a week. Don't even try, please. Like don't try. You're going to probably hurt yourself. It's a terrible idea. You're going to leave the end of the week like exhausted and not at all motivated to continue. But if you say to move your body, so maybe you go to the gym one day and the next day you just go for a walk. Or you go to the gym and the next day you do like an easier yoga sequence. You can do these things. You can implement this kind of change. You have that power. You just need to be really honest with yourself about your own limitations, about your own, not your own limitations, that was so the wrong word to use, but your own limits. Like if you've never done something before, you're not going to go from 0 to 100. It's a bad idea. It's just, that's not the best way to integrate a new habit. And that is kind of what we're talking about here, isn't it? Is making a change on a foundational level, not just doing something for shits and giggles. Although also if you want to, it's your life, play, have fun, like do something for shits and giggles if that floats your boat. But it's about doing something that helps you fundamentally make shifts, right? That's what I did. I have gotten rid of my games. I'm not downloading them again. I have lessened my data usage or my phone usage for a little while. I have upped my self-care. I have upped my movement levels, and I'm going to continue doing those things because it felt so damn good over the last 2 weeks. That is foundational work. I'm not pushing myself beyond my limits. I wasn't running 5K every day. I was walking 5K every day. And that's well within my wheelhouse because I already have a certain fitness base, okay? But what is it that you want to challenge yourself to do? What is it that you want to experiment on in your life? Because this is your life. Like, there's a reason why we have all of these inspirational quotes about your one wild and precious life. There's a reason why people quote that poem from Mary Oliver. Not just because it's beautiful, because it's true. You only have one life, one existence. What are you going to do with it? What do you want? What do you need? And how can you show up for yourself and go and get it? Because you can. I believe in you. I believe that you can. I know that you can, actually. Hell, it's not even about believing. I know that you can do it. If you want to, if you decide to, if you show up for yourself, okay? So how can you run an experiment? And also, if you're keen, I'd love to hear, what experiment would you run or will you run in your life over the next week? What are you going to challenge yourself to do? How are you going to make a shift? How are you going to show up and play a bigger game? How are you going to show up more fully for yourself? How are you going to be the version of you that you want to be? I cannot wait to hear. I cannot wait. So you will be able to, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you'll be able to fill out a poll. If not, please leave a review or a comment or whatever. Reach out to me on Instagram and tell me what it is that you're doing this week. What is your challenge? What is your experiment? I cannot wait to connect. You can find me on Instagram at Candace Alacia or on my website, www.candacealacia.com. And I will see you next week for another episode of the podcast. Have a good one.